He's the head coach of the Detroit Lions, and we're fired up to have him, Jimmy Schwartz. How you doing, Coach?
Doing good. Just walking by and decided to get on the air.
Flagged you, thank
like,
you.
Like driving down to the combine and calling in.
Can't thank you enough.
I can't believe you stopped on a Monday. You're a Wednesday guy. Motown.
No, it's a metal Monday. He's ready to bang his head a little
bit.
I know.
You two bang your heads. I can see it coming.
How you doing, bud?
Doing good.
Good. How's the offseason so far?
You know, made some progress in free agency, you know, and we took a little different focus than we did last year. Mm-hmm. Last year we had so many needs to fill. We got spread really thin and tried to bargain hunt a little bit. This year we identified just a couple players and went in hard after those guys. We didn't wait for the after Christmas sale. We went and paid full price and got a couple guys that we really like and worked a couple trades. I think we're making some pretty good progress.
Kyle Vandenbosch said somebody knocked on his door at 12:01 a.m. first day of free agency, and it was you.
Well, it was 11:01 Central Time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was there with a with a good bottle of wine, with a couple stuffed animals for his kids, with a map of Detroit. And,
I know what you stuffed them with, too. Yeah.
That doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. You know, I've been 18 years in the NFL. He's my favorite player I've been around in 18 years.
Why, Jimmy?
Because he's a good player. He's the toughest player I've ever been around. I dare anybody to find a tougher player to play in the National Football League. Maybe some as tough. Nobody tougher. A hard worker, smart, a great teammate, but more importantly, a guy that can make plays on the field. A guy that rises up when you know, when it's the fourth quarter. We needed that on our team. He fits exactly what we want to do defensively. I still think he's got a lot of gas left in his tank. We think he's still in the prime of his career.
He'll be carried out on a shield at the end of his career. That guy is not. He's gonna work harder and harder and harder to stay in this as long as possible. I think the other attribute is, and I don't know that you're going to draft one, that's your business, but whatever young player you invest money into, having him stand next to, work next to, play next to Kyle Vandenbosch is a dividend and a half.
Yeah, I think that's important, not just on the D-line, but, you know, the whole team. You know, when you can put players, anytime that you draft a player, and you know this, anytime you draft a player or sign a player for big money, when you put them in the locker room, as an organization, you're saying, hey, this is what I'm all about. As a head coach, as a general manager, you're saying, this guy right here, that's what I'm all about. And when we put Kyle Vandenbosch in the locker room, that's an easy thing to say. If I was a player, I'd hope that I played like him. When my son has a jersey on the wall, I'm glad that it's a Kyle Vandenbosch jersey.
How about Corey Williams? Talk about him. Clearly better in a 4-3 defense, what he did in Green Bay two or three years ago, I think, with 7 sacks. Talk about his fit and getting him on the team.
Evaluated him a couple years ago when I was with the Tennessee Titans, and we thought he fit perfectly into the defense that we had, that we now took with us to Detroit. You know, and we were really excited to make a move on him in free agency, and then Green Bay franchised him. And we weren't in the situation where we were going to give up draft picks, but Cleveland traded a second-round pick for him. You're talking about a guy that was 2 years removed from being the number one sacker as a defensive tackle in the National Football League, the franchise player of a team, and got to Cleveland and, you know, wasn't necessarily a great fit. They were a 3-4 team. He was a 4-3 player. He's still young. You know, there wasn't a lot of players available in free agency, so we worked the trade route with him. I know this. I brought a lot of gifts down to Kyle Vandenbosch. A thing that really raised his eyebrows, that really made him feel comfortable with the thing in Detroit, was I said, we just completed a trade for Corey Williams. He knows what kind of player he is.
He knows having that inside guy inside of him.
And he knows it's a commitment to building up front. And I think that was a big thing. And, you know, we're excited about Corey. I mean, like I said, I mean, he was a good player in Cleveland. It was just the scheme really, you know, wasn't something that, you know, that he could shine in.
You know, talking to you every week last year, it occurred to me many, many times that you weren't satisfied with the mindset, the temperament, the personality of the team. So when I see your re-signs, that would be tough to be re-signed by you unless that guy could deliver, because you had a whole year to watch him. So you're pretty tough on the scrutiny. So as I see the guys you've re-signed, they passed your test in the locker room when the battle was on.
Yeah, like you said, when you put a guy in the locker room, you're saying this is what we're all about. When you re-sign a guy, you're saying, hey, this guy can be part of the solution. So I think that's, you know, that's definitely a message to the team. It's definitely a message to the player. We won 2 games last year, so we're not standing battling
right.
A lot of things, and we need to make a lot of changes. There's a lot of things that we need to do. Now, one thing we can't do is we can't panic and we can't change our scheme and change our philosophy. We understand where our issues were, and we need to address them this offseason. We're going to be addressing them every single year. There's always going to be things that you're going to tweak and you're going to change and you're going to need to address. Our tail of the tape, so to speak, is going to be our commitment to staying within the philosophy and not changing from year to year, and not do that, weave where you're paddling too much on one side of the canoe and then you come back and go nowhere.
Jimmy, talk about Nate Burleson, who you got from Seattle, because I've raved over this pickup and this acquisition. A lot of people, Nate Burleson, nice pick. I think this pickup is so big for you to take pressure off Calvin, to give something somewhere for Matthew to go with the football opposite Calvin, and then the things he can bring in the return game as well. That guy's a big play waiting to happen.
He's got great running after the catch skills. Anytime you have a player like Calvin Johnson, it's a different dynamic. You'll see some crazy defenses where post players will be over on a half field over top of him. The other guy will be one-on-one. Nate is a guy that can win that one-on-one and make one guy miss and go to distance. He's a playmaker. He had a serious injury 2 years ago, but he came back from that with 60-plus catches. We were excited about it. He had experience with our offensive coordinator. And, throughout the season this year, we would meet, maybe on a Tuesday or, game plan weeks. And Scott Linehan, our offensive coordinator, would say something like, we really need a player like Nate Burleson. This is what we had in Minnesota with Randy Moss. We saw a lot of the same stuff. Nate Burleson, this is what Nate Burleson did. We need to find a player like that. Well, in free agency this year,
let's go get Nate.
Yeah, let's not try to find somebody like him. Let's go get him. He was available. Scott Linehan actually flew to Seattle. We sent him out to make the same pitch to Nate and put ourselves out there a little bit on those guys. But we're able to get those guys identified, a few guys that fit very well into what we did, and weren't afraid to go make that, put ourselves out there and make that decision.
Chris Houston fit very well into what we did. When you watch Chris in Atlanta, or were you leaning on your college grades with him? What was the inspiration? It looks like, and I'm just looking at the deal, was a pretty easy deal to do just because it wasn't the biggest amount of compensation. But does he fit what you do differently than what Atlanta was trying to do with him?
Well, I think he played well when he was there. I think you had a situation where Atlanta went out and signed a big time, made a big time commitment to Donta Robinson. Mm-hmm. And when they did that, Chris became expendable to them. So looking at it, we have profiles for what we're looking for in a position. And we try to match as closely as we can when we draft players, when we sign players, match them to those criteria. And when we've had success in personnel is when we've done that really well. And when we failed, they haven't matched that criteria. And Chris was a guy that matched that criteria. He's fearless. He can go win a one-on-one. He's a 420-pound bencher. He's 175 pounds. He can bench 420. He's tough. He's not very big. Like I said, it fit our profile. There was a commitment to get him. It didn't necessarily, make major news.
No, but he's going to be out on that field for you right away, probably.
He's
going to earn his job, but.
Like I said, if we can just keep acquiring players that fit our profile and do it that, then we'll be in good position.
Jim Schwartz with us on the program, head coach of the Detroit Lions. Couple of rehabs before we get you out of here. Brandon Pettigrew, Matthew Stafford, how are those guys doing? And talking about where they are rehab wise.
Well, Brandon's going to be a long time. He's recovering from an ACL, so his rehab isn't measured in days or even months. It's measured in multiple months, and he's progressing fine. He hasn't had any setbacks, and he's actually come back from an ACL in high school, never missed a season. So, we feel confident he'll get back. He's a tough guy. He's a hard worker. Matt's back on the field doing our off-season program. He's throwing a little bit on the side. You were probably starting him a little bit slow and easing him in just to make sure he gets back in, hasn't had any problems with his shoulder. We're just strengthening his legs so that we just do it the right way rather than throw him in all at once.
With the last one for me, Jimmy, with the amount of guys you've brought on and re-signed, there's a long list here. Does it alter your draft philosophy? Are you eliminating, like one head coach already said to us, I don't have to pay attention to that position right now. We've taken care of it. Has that happened to you, or you are still going in there looking at everybody?
Well, we probably have one position we're not going to be drafting. That's quarterback.
Yep. Everything else is on the table.
I think we're pretty well set there. And I think just long-term strategy with the draft, as long as you're recognizing talent on your draft board and you're not ignoring that for need, you're going to make good decisions. All things equal, if you have players that are rated the same, you can go for need. But when you have multiple needs, then talent trumps need. And I think we took that approach last year. We were very happy with it. We got Matt Stafford. We got Brandon Pettigrew. We picked up Lewis Delmas and then came back in the third with a starting linebacker in DeAndre Levy. All those players fit our profile. Didn't matter if we drafted them in the third round, the first round, the second round. We were happy when we got them. We were happy at the end of the season. I think we'll be happy going forward with those guys.
Last follow-up to that, and then I'm done completely. Are you done in free agency? Are the Lions done for the year? Are they closing shop and focusing on draft only, or are there other things to be done in the, you know, the veteran business?
No, the personnel business, you're never finished. I mean, it's always a constant evaluation. You know, our guys do a great job there evaluating waiver claims, low-level free agents, big free agents, trades. There'll be more trades made.
Yep.
You know, I think what we've seen this year is a limited number of unrestricted free agents. So teams have, you know, teams still have needs. They're going to fill their needs. So they've been much more active in the trade market. We have. A lot of teams have. So, you know, personnel guy, there's never a season.
Right.
That's 365 days a year, and they're always thinking about that. And, you know, I mean, it may not be a starter. It may be a guy that's on your 53, but they all make a difference on Sunday.
Jimmy, last one for me. The competition committee trying to get a few rule changes in the books and get some proposals that will get past the modification to sudden death. Weigh in on that for us, if you would. Now, the owner will be voting for it, but just talk about that in your mind, how you see it.
Well, I think that when you look at the numbers, it's strong. They make a strong case that something needs to be done. I mean, since 1994, I think it's something that you can't quote me on the numbers, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 38% of the teams that lose the toss actually win a game. That's strong to look at, and there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, so, you know, there's a proposal on the table. It's being talked about. You know, it's a lot of really good discussion with it. We'll sort of figure out, you know, how it goes. But, you know, I think that we'll never find something that's perfect. You know, you can't really please everyone. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's strong. It's not just a one-year trend. That's been, I think, since 1994.
Right. Does your owner dialogue with you guys on it?
Oh, yeah. When votes like that come up, there are some things that the ownership will vote on regardless of what a head coach or general manager might have input. But there's other things that we'll kick around and, you know, and talk about and come to a sort of an organizational decision on. That's one of the reasons we're here. I mean, we come down here not because of the sun and, you know, the nice weather and everything else. We come down here to work. And, you know, I snuck out of meetings to be with you guys. But
we love that.
But we're down here to, you know, to have conversation. And you don't want to make up your mind before you look at all the facts and before there's conversation and there's dialogue. And that's the best part about being here. When we leave here, we'll come up with a good decision.
Jimmy, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. You always go out of your way for us, and we really appreciate it.
Stay out of the weight room, bro, will you?
No problem, guys.
Jim Schwartz, head coach of the Lions.